you read it, you'll see it's written in a completely different tone than everything else. In a sense, an easier tone, more like a Musar Sefer. And it's not long. It's what, 7 prakim, I think. 7 short prakim. When we talk about the purpose of of life, so there's two different ways to look at it, and they might not be mutually exclusive. I hope they're not, but they're two different things. One thing to look at is, okay, Hashem put me in this world. This is very yesodistic what I'm saying now. Hashem put me in this world. What's my job? My job is to be a tzaddik. Do whatever for personal growth and to become, like, sort of go through the university of the world of life and become something much more than the way I came into this world. In a way, that's the Pashut Pshat, actually the way I grew up. So, you know, they say from, just as a mashal, they say, Michelangelo, that, they say when he saw a rock, he saw a beautiful sculpture inside the rock. Now it's just his job. Thank you very much. Now it's just his job to can you get him another cup of coffee? That's the part I'm worried about. I got. That's right.
If the table needed to be washed.
So let's think carefully. I'm sorry for the.
I apologize.
The way Michelangelo, that muscle means that you find something which is a piece of wood or a rock. In there lies this beautiful piece of art, this statue. It takes the artist to chisel away the impurities until it becomes that beautiful thing. That was the philosophy, if you will, that was put forth by Michelangelo, which was very moving to me when I read it. And it means by the way, it means, by the way, at least in his mind, every rock was different. Like, in other words, he didn't see the same thing on one rock as he saw another rock. To me, a rock is a rock. I guess it's the rock. What's the difference? But everyone is different. And what that means for us would be that you come into this world, Yetzer Lev Ha'adam Ra Min Urav. A person doesn't come into this world with any particularly godless, but you come in the world with potential, and the potential is to become a tzaddik, and the mitzvahs that we do, the Torah that we learn, the challenges that we have, the yisurim that we go through, it all molds the person, and until you leave this world, so you can become a tzaddik. We learned in Nefesh HaChaim that Moshe Rabbeinu was not at the same madrega when he left this world as he was when he came in this world, or he wasn't even the same madrega at his death at 120 years old as he was by the Sneh. He grew and grew and grew and grew, and you could see that in the middle there he was. He went from the Sneh to Har Sinai to a bigger Giloy to Pirish Minaisha. He became more and more otherworldly, so much so we learned that he was so otherworldly that he wasn't even fitting for going into Eretz Yisrael. By the way, I just, Agav, while I'm here, Rav Kook, Olav Shalom, said the same thing about Eretz Yisrael Gufa. Eretz Yisrael is, what he said actually is that there's two aspects to it. There's the Kedushas Haaretz, which is inherent in the Kedusha, and there's what we make out of Eretz Yisrael. So is that bringing out the Kedusha, or is that a place which is Mesugal for Kedusha, so we put Kedusha into it? But in other words, what did Avraham Avinu do? And it's not our subject. What Lech Lecha and the buying of the Maris HaMachpelah, but philosophically, says Rav Kook, you could understand it two ways, and he has his shita, which is not our Indian right now. So that's one way of looking at the person. I don't know, like, just think for yourself, is that the way you see life? In other words, I come into the world, my job is to become a tzaddik. That's become a tzaddik. There's another way to look at the world, which I believe is the Volozhiner way to look at the world, and that the truth is the word tzaddik is hardly mentioned in Shas. It's hardly mentioned in the Torah. Yosef HaTzaddik, Noach is tzaddik. But you don't find by Noach is tzaddik that it was any kind of a thing that, oh, we should aspire to this our whole life. It's not like Noach is tzaddik. Okay, Noach was a tzaddik. Whatever it means, you don't find it too often, and you don't find it as like this ultimate goal in life, to be a tzaddik. So what then is the ultimate goal? So the ultimate goal is we're put in this world to tikkun olam. When I say tikkun olam, I don't mean to plant trees necessarily or to hug them. But what I'm talking about, tikkun olam, I'm saying that every person is put in this world with the ability to change the world of Asiya, the world of Yetzirah, the world of Bria, the world of Atzilus. Mamash changed the Shemayim and be misakin the oilamois elyonos and hence create bracha in this world. And every person that comes into this world has to do their part. Other than in oilam b'malchu shakai, shechol b'nei v'asir yikru lecha, yikru shmecha. We're talking about, so my goal is kiilu, not what I'm becoming in the world. It's almost not important, except for maybe as much as I have to become something in order to make this ultimate tikkun. But the goal, the focus, the mikud here is to understand what I'm doing in this world. Does that sound like a chiddush to anybody? That's where you grew up. So the answer is I grew up in a Hasidic yeshiva, and you grew up where? Lidfish yeshiva. Okay. So fast forward, to me, it doesn't sound like such a bad idea to become a tzaddik and worry about the tikkun olam. Something, I don't know why it has to be a machlekes, but I believe it is a machlekes. And it's so much so that the Nefesh HaChaim, look what we were just learning for the last number of weeks. We're learning about the anivus, really, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nachnu ma. I'm nothing. I'm not here. Nachnu ma. I'm not just transparent. I don't even exist. Like Avram Avinu d'chsiv anochi ofer ve'efer. There is there. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Nefesh HaChaim taught us, is a completely different paradigm than the understanding of Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and Neviim. The Nevuah, where the whole Gilui of the Shemayim came into the Aretz through him. And we see Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't have to be a Nefesh HaChaim to know that Moshe Rabbeinu was also the great advocate for the Jewish people, right? Lama, right? Why Lama Charabcha? Why are you getting angry at the Jewish people? Lama Yomru Hagoyim. He spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way, but it never had anything to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. You can argue that with Moshe Rabbeinu's personality, what are you doing to me? Even when Korach attacked him, so Vayipal Alpanav. And so there's a way what the Nefesh HaChaim has been machtim to us, and that's why I pointed out at the beginning that you have to learn Shaar Gimel before you learn Prakim. And the Shaar Gimel is all about when I say anivus, it takes us the wrong way, but to the nothingness of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it comes out like this, very practical thing. You stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmona Esrei. So what are we doing there? Are we saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me, which sounds right? Or are we saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Aseh Laman Shemecha, Aseh Laman Yiminecha, Aseh Laman Kedushasecha, Aseh Laman Shechinasecha? It's not about me. My job here is to daven because I have some kind of a koach for the world, and that bracha can fall on the whole world and on me also. Ulai. See, the Baskol said, kol olam kulei misparnis mechanina bni. Mechanina bni. Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. In other words, he was the shvil, Chanina, Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, Chanina bni, the Shechina called him, the Baskol called him, Shechina bni. I presume that's in the name of Hashem. Shechina bni was opened up a pipe. That could be our job, like that. Look at it like that, the visual. Like in these big factories, you come in and you open up the pipe, let the water flow in. Each one of us can be a pipe, but the more, look at it this way, the more that we are as people, the more we personally exist, like Fleischik's, so the less water is going to go through that pipe. The thicker the pipe, the less quantity of the flow. So Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm a nothing. So this, by the way, I think even in the Litvisha world, seems to me to be, unless I'm not looking at it correctly, seems to be already like a machlekes between like Slabotka and Nevardik, where the Slabotka story is like Godless Ha'adam, and the Nevardik story is Ich bin agornished, as everybody knows the famous joke, right? Ich bin agornished. You know the famous joke. Famous joke is that somebody came to Nevardik to learn, and he sees what everybody's doing, sitting there learning, and they're saying, ich bin agornished, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. So he sat by his gender. He said, okay, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And they're saying, ich bin agornished. So the two people next to him turned away. He's here one day, he's already agornished. What do you think you are? But it's a Gvaldika story. Linya Nenu. However, this could be the Machlaika. So I just want to show you two things. Number one, in the if you go in the Nefesh HaChaim, way to the beginning, Shar Aleph, Perek, Chaf Aleph, he says here, Perichav Aleph Zeis, I think he says there's a number of places, but here's one. Zeis Teres Adam, this is what the purpose of a person is. Lishma, when he's learning Teres Lishma, which we were talking about in Shar Aleph, Lishmar Lakaim Kechola Kasuvba, you should do, and you're learning Lishma, and also to keep everything that it says. And then Matahir Eskufai, something happens where you get a tahara. Tahara lishma, in other words, not like going to college and getting information. Something happens where your metaher is gufay me roshay. Those become tahar when I'm learning tahara lishma. The brach is lama nisma oha. Which is tense to rivers. Man necholim malinus adam mituma latara. Oil mal, that means oil tire, malinus adam mikaf choiva lakaf schus. Kain shadarshu chazal gabi tarasa tmeim bimikva. When a tummy person goes into the mikva, sticking out, mayim shikol gufay oila behem. And he goes on to explain that when one is going into the mikveh, one is completely, there's nothing of yourself which is left out. Completely immersed. Completely means it's not and this feels good, or this is inspiring, or this is good for my brain, or it's stopping my memory loss. Is that no? Those are all nice little benefits. But Torah Lishma, so Torah Lishma means that there's a tahara. Tahara means complete purity in the sense that there's nothing left of me. That's the way he explains it. Yeshiva Holim. Tom. Yeah.
In the Perek Chamishi of the Rambam Mishmaros Brachot, he speaks about, writes about, every person, everything he does has to be directed at a tachlit. The tachlit he defines as Ahavat Hashem. Doesn't get involved. I'm not saying there's an exterior, but he doesn't get involved in a higher goal, an epiphany of Tikkun Olam. He only says that what we have to do as individuals is to devote ourselves to Avodat Hashem in order to achieve Avodat Hashem. Is that a steer to what?
I'm not sure it needs thought, but let me add on to what you're saying, that the Rambam says, V'lochein, he says that kol Limud, she'ein boy mishum avas Hashem, einoy limud. Like anything that's not going to bring you to avas Hashem. But when we say, it's not called Torah Lashma, or it's not called but when we say that, once you do it, like people explain, why should you do mitzvahs? Why should you put on tefillin? Why should you, once you say I'm doing it for anything, it's already wrong. Doing it because Hashem told me to do it. I mean, there's only one answer to that question. But I don't want to lose Nachzir L'Inyonenu here. The question is, the chakira, if you will, is, are we here to become or are we here to serve? It could be that is a stira minei obey, because if I'm becoming, then I'm losing my nothingness. Once I'm becoming, so like any type of, and the Nefesh HaChayim goes so far as to call it a gaiva, davening for yourself, or becoming a tzaddik, you'll see the gaiva, and this is a terrible thing. Now, I just want to say this, the Rav Leuchter brings, he brought from one of the Talmidei Agra. Now, I don't know why he keeps it a secret, which one of the Talmidei Agra is, but it's an exact quote. It must be like a secret. So he learned Nefesh HaChaim with Rav Volba and Olav HaShalom. And Rav Volba, he said this. I went to his shiurim for a short time. I went to his shiurim when I lived in Yerushalayim. He said, Rav Leuchter said, that when Rav Volbe learned with him one-on-one, Nefesh HaChaim, so Satam Shadi was learning him Nefesh HaChaim, the Chavrusa. That's not what was going on. He said that that Rav Volbe was teaching him, how do you give over these Yesoidas to people? Like a Ruach HaKodesh of knowing that he's going to be the one, and he is, to give over certain Yesoidas. How do you say this over? That was the, and Rav Volbe said that he chapped this, that's what he told him, because he used to learn with Rav Huttner. And when Rav Huttner came here to Eretz Yisrael, by the way, I remember, Rav Huttner moved to Eretz Yisrael, and I think it was every day, and Bachram used to watch this because he lived right next door on Sorotskin, every day, so Rav Volbe used to arrive at the apartment of Rav Huttner. And they used to learn, Rav Huttner had a booming voice, Rav Volbe didn't, but Rav Huttner had a booming voice, and he used it all the time. I don't know why he didn't speak low ever. And he always had the window open, and Bachram used to stand outside the window on a regular basis listening to this shir. And they used to learn Maral, but not Nefesh HaChaim, they used to learn Maral. And you see Rav Volbe come in, learn Maral, Rav Volbe went out. But Rav Huttner, by the way, used to learn with Lubavitcher Rebbe. I'm not saying as a senior, but I'm just saying an interesting interesting how this worked. And then he gave it up. He didn't want to learn with Baba Trevi. But Rav Volbe said to him in the name of Rav Huttner that I'm not teaching you Nefesh HaChaim, I'm teaching you how to give over these Yesoidas. So this is one of the things that he brings from the Talmidei Agra. Let me just read it, please. This is Lashon. Yesoid ha-machloikis shehekim ha-gra neged ha-chasidim. The main machloikas that the Gra had against the Hasidim, Bikarahu, the Iker point was, Sheherim Raisha Hasidim Akavona al Hamaisa, Vahayisarin Lechide School Alisnaglefam of Maisa al Pirois, Enom, let's say Smitarikishal Torah. It's a little bit different than what we're saying, but you'll see how it ties in. That are you looking at the Maisa, or are you looking at the Kavan of the Maisa? Dahainu, you're supposed to daven during the Zman. I'll give you an example. You're supposed to daven Kriya Shema during the time of Zman Kriya Shema. But if you're a big tzaddik, maybe, you can look at like the reason for saying Kriya Shema b'Zman, b'Shach b'Chav k'Mecha, and understand that for me, the Zman doesn't apply. The Zman, the time to daven Kriya Shema, doesn't apply, and it's more important for me to make hachanas, and to go to the mikvah, and to learn for a few hours of chasidus, and kol minei zachen. So this was always, by the way, like the not the main point, but the main point of controversy through the generations of Hasidim and Misnagdim, because the Misnagdim were always looking for a place in Halacha where they're messing up. And this was always it. They would do a bris milah after Shkia, a lot of Hasidim, because they wanted to use every minute of the day to be mechen for the bris milah. Baruch Nias. So says this Talmud Agra, that this is what the Gra is against, that there should be Yechidei Skula, that there are individuals that can delve into the reason for something and then take it that way. Listen, this is how this fits in. He says that kind of a mentality, said the Gra, is built on the fact that it's Shlemus Hayachid of La Shlama Haluumis Shricha Shteyase Iker. But it's not right. I'm a tzaddik, this is what I need to do, but it's not right. It should be the global thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a Seder in the world, and the Seder of the world says this is what's about Kriya Shema, period. Vahayachid. Nobody has the right. So what he's learning in this is that, what does it mean nobody has the right? Like, forget about yourself and what's better for you, or what's better for your growth, or even to consider, you know, that maybe we're going to tweak this one a little bit. Because zeal buser time, like, you know, like let's get into it. So, you know, the whole path of spiritual growth, which, you know, is my whole life, the whole path of spiritual growth is in question if in any way it creates more of me and less of the tzibur. Right. So what happens when, first of all, when the tzaddik has nothing to do with the tzibur? Tzaddik sits someplace and he has nothing to do with the tzibur. It's not my thing. I'm not involved. You know, so what happens there? Tzaddik. In other words, look, we all know that everything has kind of changed even in the last 20 years from... It was a very clear thing between the Admirim, the Rebbes, and lately the Chachamim, that are tzaddikim and giving brachas and somehow have some kind of a koach lamala, and the gedolei harosh yeshivas and the gedolei apoiskim, that was, I mean, I imagine if somebody got a bracha from Rav Moshe Feinstein, it was very, very strong, but that wasn't his thing. It wasn't his thing. His thing was to Moshe Feinstein, Moshe Anav Mikol Adam. I mean, in other words, there was always this sort of a Litvish approach, which is ironic because the Litvish Roshiva were always called by the Hasidim Balei Gaiva, but there's this Litvish approach of V'nachnu Ma. Now, once I become the tzaddik and people are giving me kavod, a lot of kavod, and I'm giving out brachas, and I have this sort of power to change around the things. It's a different derech. People find it very inspiring, including myself. But I know in Chabad, when the Rebbe was alive and well, so it was Ki'ilu, the real Hasidim never told any miraculous stories about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I was told this when I was a kid. That's not for Chabad Hasidim. For other Hasidim, it's all about the miracles and Baal Maifsim and this and that. It's about the understanding of Hasidim, understanding the world. And then they would point out in a footnote, but there's hundreds of miracles that you could point to, which I'm sure is true. Chassam Sofer and the Gra, I mean, there's all kinds of stories. But those stories were never the Iker, if you will. The Iker was the Limud, the davening for the Tzibur. Can I say everybody wants to say something?
Revolva, in the Mir one time, he spoke about the Afer Ve'efer versus the Nachman Ma. And if I recall correctly, he basically said the Avos were beginning of the Merkava. That was their, that's why they were...
Who they were.
That's why they chose that mahalach, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu had to be a tzinner.
So he's saying the same thing.
That they're both legitimate, but the context determines what you do.
They're both legitimate until came Chassidim and Misnagdim, which made one the Iker and not the other Iker. It's hard. Look, I was just like, people say, like, I'm Chassidish, or I'm Litvish, you know. I mean, it's to me, it's like a, you know, like it's sort of a pick and choose, or I feel more comfortable being Hasidish, I'm going to become Hasidish, I'm going to become Litvish, I don't like it, I do like it, you know. But it just seems to me that, like, this issue was the machlekes of the biggest gedolim in history, or at least since the Tanoim and Amoraim, the Gra, the Baal Shem Tov, the Chaim Volozhin, the Magid Mizrich. I mean, this was, you know, like it just seems to be always to be funny, like, you know, I'm more comfortable being a Chassid. I just, like, you know, at best, I think the best we could do in this whole thing is have a Messiah. And this is your Messiah and stick with it. But it's funny that it's considered like a... kind of like, okay, here's where you can use your creativity to feel like this or to feel like that, do this way, that way. I certainly, I mean, as an example, just on Aniyah Cotton, I would never delve into, like, who's right and who's wrong. I can read what you feel, but then there's a danger with how you feel, because it could be it's a feel-good experience, and that's what the Hasidisha thing is, but it's not the MS. Or it could be, I'm just like this, I don't feel b'chlal, like I'm not a feeling person, so I'm going with the Litvish Derech. But I don't think it's about personality types. And I don't think that anybody can go ahead and say, well, this is the MS, not the MS, or the Rambam was, you know, the Lubavitchers say that the Rambam was a Chassid. And the Gra says the Rambam was like the ultimate Misnagid. That's what they say. I mean, they both say the same thing. Like, So, I don't know, but I know there's a sakana involved. And the sakana, there's a sakana involved either way, by the way. The sakana involved is that you can become such a tzaddik that for people around you, they can start to worship you. We've seen that. Well, that's a problem for the people, no matter what he is. And it's a problem for the person himself that, you know, and don't forget the historical part of it, that Shabsai Tzvi, Lahavdil from all the Gedolim, the Shabsai Tzvi, this was the issue. He was the tzaddik. Tzaddik Yisod Olam. And he wasn't, I mean, he did conduct himself as well, if not better, than most of the tzaddikim do today. So, you know, for the most of his life, he was just a tzaddik, and people saw miracles with him. And, you know, so there's a sakana involved. So the answer is probably that is the derech. But I was thinking this, like here, the sakana the other way, by the way, in Vanachnu Ma, is that it can be very depressing to feel like you're a nothing. You know, ich bin a garnished. You know, you have to be a high madrega because we are shagom huish. We are baser v'dam. So it's not so pashut to be a garnished, even if you hold of that. But I just want to quote, right, you with me on that? Like, it's not so posh, it's psychologically.
It can also lead to saying, like, the Rosh Hashiva, you know, whatever he says, I'm going to listen to, like, you know, it takes away your own rational thinking.
So what is that? Well, that's where the whole thing merged, and maybe that's Min HaShemayim, so I don't want to unmerge them. But you know, I'll tell you a personal thing. Just a personal thing. I was zochet to learn with one of the Gedolim, Reb Scheinberg, tzaddik livracha, and he was a tzaddik. I mean, I lived at his house. There's no question that he was a tzaddik in the sense that his whole life was avodas Hashem. There was nothing else. I mean, he got up at 3:45 in the morning. It took 50, and I lived in his house. I put on his tzitzis for him. He put on a lot of tzitzis, and he had his avodas. It took 20 minutes to put on the tzitzis on him. That's how long it took. It takes us a second. It took 20 minutes. He would learn things that he would never teach. So totally Torah Lishma for a couple of hours sometimes. You know, totally things, you know, sugyas that nothing to do with yeshiva, nothing to do with his psak halacha, you know, the Isaac and Krisus or even in Kabbalah. And then he would daven Netzachama Barichus. And then he would, you know, he would tell us, and so, Mamish, a tzaddik. And a Rosh Hashiva, huge Talmud Chacham. I mean, there wasn't a Ksais that he didn't know, a Taisus that he didn't know. There was nothing that he didn't know, so he was a huge Talmud Chacham. And as years went on, he became more of a manhig also. But that wasn't his thing, really, to be, in my opinion. It wasn't his thing to be a manhig. There came a time, maybe I shouldn't even say this on a tape, but I'll say it for historical record. There came a time that he was not a very good fundraiser. And the yeshiva grew. The fundraise. So me, Yaakov Haber, was living in Muncie, said, you know, Reb Scheinberg was going into the, you know, the Sfardish Shtiebel in Borough Park, you know, the Minion Factory, and he went in with a towel still in tzitzis and like a leather pouch that the bus drivers used to wear, and people would give him a dollar and ask for change. He would take 75 cents, and he would go from Minion to Minion raising money. And I said to him, you know, Rebbe, I could do that. You know, let me do that because I happened to be there once, davening. So, and I saw this. I couldn't believe what I'm seeing because it was such covet in the yeshiva. And he said, if you go around, they're going to give you a quarter. If I go around, they give me a dollar. See, that was his answer to me. But it used to drive me crazy. And then when I became Rav in Muncie, so he came and he asked me for help fundraising. And I set him up with this marketing company. From a marketing company in Flatbush, and I said, look, let's do the dinner correctly, like you do a dinner, and invitations correctly, and PR correctly, and let's do it correctly. Now, his dinner was mamish herring and kichel in the basement of a shul in Borough Park. That was his annual dinner, and he wasn't making the budget. So they said, okay, and I actually hired him. I raised the money at that time to hire him, helped raise the money, to hire this company to fix it. All of a sudden, I see on the lampposts of Muncie huge signs with a very tzaddik-looking picture of Rav Scheinberg with a halo around him, saying "Tzaddik Balair," and you know, and it said for brachos, you know, or for you know, to daven with his minion or something like that. But I looked at it and I said, come on, you're missing the whole thing. I mean, he's a goon, he's a posek, he's a, you know. But I'll tell you something. All of a sudden, it went from him calling me and said, you know, Rabbi Yaakov, can you call somebody? Because I got to, all of a sudden, there's a line outside my door, as he was staying there, of a constant line. I don't know if anybody's been there. Hundreds of people. I mean, Aboker ad Arav. And he raised a budget. And he did not like this at all. And I saw in one day the shift from Rosh Yeshiva to Rebbe. He was a good Rebbe. He was a tzaddik. He wasn't less of a tzaddik than anybody else. But all of a sudden became a Litvisher Rebbe. And this was all about the need for him, Mesiras Nefesh. First of all, it was Mesiras Nefesh talking to people all day long. He was 85, 90 at the time. And it was something to behold, but it was a different thing, and it was at Kedei Kach. This is just I'm telling this to you that when they started to write the Art Scroll biography of Rav Scheinberg after he was nifter, so they showed it to me. You know, just take a look at it. You knew him well. And I said, this is all wrong, completely wrong. The whole thing is wrong. And I rewrote the book. Read the introduction. It's not the right book. It's not a story of a miracle worker. Although he did miracles. I'm sure Rav Moshe Feinstein did miracles, and I'm sure the Grod did miracles. That's not the point. And I'm sure there's a place for Rebbes and Tzaddikim. I just want to say one more thing. The Rebbes also turn more Litvish. So now, first of all, these Rebbes are a lot of huge Talmidei Chachamim, and it's like a different thing now. Piece, which is written or written from a Hasidic Rebbe, which is complete hadracha in Avodas Hashem. Now, I would argue the answer is because he was a Rosh Yeshiva for many years. But see, also a shift there. So maybe it's good that everything's merging. So there's no more Hasidim Misnagdim. So I'm all for it to merge. I like inclusiveness and unity. But what I'm saying philosophically, this is my introduction to the Prakim. That the Prakim Mesillas Yesharim, Sefer HaYesod. Mesillas Yesharim. Yesod HaYesod, it's for Shoyrish HaChasidus. Sheyeda HaAdam. Machivase Ba'alame. Sheyeda V'yisame Eitzel HaAdam. Machivase Ba'alame. And then, like Rabbi Ephraim said, what Machivase Ba'alame, what's the answer? We got to read the book. but the book is basically one thing leads to the next, and you end up with Avas Hashem. So, I mean, if you look at it, this is the Ramchal before that whole issue of Hasidim, before it got divided this way. It was Pashit Be'enei the Ramchal, it seems to me, that Machivase Ba'ilamai is, I have to think of why am I here, and it's not to become. It's to do. It's to if you read the Sefer, it's to be able to make the world a better place to live in a ruchniistic way. That's what he says. Talking about Tikkun Olam. So and I also understand that historically in more apocalyptic words, that the Baal Shem Tov understood that the world needs a replacement for Shabtzai Tzvi. They need, they speak about the Baal Shem Tov trying to be him out of hell. You know, that the Shabtzai Tzvi came to him and said, okay, can you, I mean, think about in the Gra was like, let's get away from this whole thing. So there was a little extremeness. Is that a word?
Polarization.
Yeah, okay. Extremism on both parts, because each one was a reaction to history. A reaction to history is not good. So I'm giving too much hakdama, but I want to understand what we're learning in context. But you know, I'm sure like you, like I, when find some kind of a hilltop with a minion, and like you did, Yoni, and just get out of the whole thing. This is not. What did you say, Ephraim, from the Rambam? It's not maybe l'day yira, it's not maybe l'day ava. What's it doing, all this politics? It's an absolute necessity, but sometimes I feel to myself, like lama litzarazu, you know, just go and do avodas Hashem. You get older, and that's what you think. And then I think, I'm doing something here. I'm not, you know, but it's actually quite a struggle to do avodas Hashem in the world that we live in. That's all I'm saying. Like, sometimes you want to just go become a tzaddik. On the other hand, if the whole tachlis is to be able to do for I came to this world, is it to become a tzaddik? That's the shaila. That's the shaila. Did I come into this world to become a tzaddik? Or do I sometimes have to give up my tzaddik to be meshaper the world? Let me just end with the story that I told you before, and then we'll start the Prakim in Mirtz Hashem on Sunday, exactly inside, and I just want to go through it quickly. But I mentioned the story before that the Rav of Beersheva or Be'er Shava, as the Chumash calls it, Yitzhi Yaakov Miber Shava, Vayela Charana. I don't think it says Be'er Sheva too often. But the Rav Be'er Shava was Rav Tzvi Kozelevsky's father, Rav Kozelevsky, and he needed to build a mikveh for the tzibur there. The mikveh wasn't good anymore. And this is in the 50s I'm talking about. So he needed to build a mikveh for the tzibur, and the only place where he got a building permit to build a mikveh was where a shul used to be, which is keneged halacha, because the halacha says you're allowed to build a mikveh any place, and you're allowed to do a lot of things with the shul, but one of the on top of the shul, like a merchatz, needed a merchatz. So, but otherwise there'd be no mikveh, so it was an aveir, it was a mitzvah. So he went to the Chazon Ish to ask the Chazon Ish what to do. Should I build a mikveh? But this is the only chance I have of building a mikveh is in this piece of land. The details of halacha are not important. What's important is that the Chazon Ish told him that the Chazon Ish thought about it, and he told him that you should build a mikveh. So he says, but it's keneged halacha. So he said, so you'll go to Gehenna a little bit, but the Olam will have a mikveh. Okay, I'll leave that with you.